This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Banks Centre for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
In the news this month, simulated black holes and smelly comets. Astronomers received help from an unexpected source this month, as it was revealed that the creation of visual effects for a new science fiction film has led to new insights into the physics of black holes. Interstellar, the new film from director Christopher Nolan, other sci-fi adventure films are of course available, has held significant attention amongst astronomers since the announcement that the highly regarded theorist Kip Thorne was collaborating with Nolan on the film, seeking to preserve as high a level of scientific accuracy as possible. And it appears that the project has exceeded expectations, actually leading to new discoveries Thorne expects to be able to publish in research papers. Part of the film, Kip worked with the visual effects team to attempt to make an accurate visualization of a spinning black hole, an object used as a plot device central to the film's story. Black holes themselves are, of course, by definition, invisible, but they can be observed via two key effects. The first, a consequence of Einstein's theory of general relativity, is gravitational lensing, bending of light rays caused by the curving of space-time by massive objects. This lensing effect has many uses, with which regular Jodcast listeners are probably familiar, and in the case of ultra-massive, ultra-dense black holes, is capable of distorting images of background stars and galaxies into spectacular arcs and rings. In addition, when a black hole feeds on external matter, be it gas, cosmic dust, or an unlucky nearby star, this matter is expected to form an accretion disk around the black hole. In these accretion disks, matter particles rub up against each other and become increasingly hot and dense, emitting light and making accretion disks one of the most luminous types of object in the universe. Thorne and the visual effects team set out to calculate how such an accretion disk would appear to an observer within viewing distance of the black hole, not a trivial task given the extreme mass densities involved. Fortunately, Kip Thorne is preeminent in matters of general relativity, with a 50-year career and significant cult following within the field. Thorne worked out the form of Einstein's equations, describing the path taken by light rays around the highly spinning black hole required by the film's plot, and gave the resulting equations to the visual effects team to code up onto their computers. This required the creation of a whole new suite of visual rendering software, as previous codes relied on the assumption, safe outside extreme astrophysical environments, that light rays travelled in straight lines. The team then turned loose their significant computing power on Thorne's equations, generating nearly 800 terabytes, that's 800,000 gigabytes of data, with some individual frames of animation typically displayed on screen for only about 1/24th of a second, taking up to 100 hours to produce. The result is something very spectacular. In addition to the light coming directly from the accretion disk in one plane around the black hole, light is also bent around the black hole, circling it 4 or 5 times before escaping to the virtual camera. This gives a beautiful visual effect with rainbows of fire appearing perpendicular to the original accretion disk and complex fingerprint-like patterns at the very edge of the dark shadow created by the black hole itself. Both Thorne and director Christopher Nolan are understandably excited about this, having produced something both visually arresting and scientifically accurate. In addition to the film, it is expected that the work will produce technical scientific papers, relating both to the discoveries about black hole physics and the new computing techniques which were required to produce the animation. The news met with highly positive reactions amongst prominent physicists on social media, although many also offered the caveat that much of the broad sense of the physics had already been worked out, particularly in the pioneering works by Jean-Pierre Lumineux and J.A. Mark in the 1970s and 1990s. These works also pointed out extra effects not actually present in the simulations for the film, with relativistic Doppler effects causing the accretion disk to appear brighter on one side than the other. Lumineux is in contact with Kip Thorne, however, and suitably reassured that such effects will be considered and due credit given when the technical papers are written up for publication. In other news, the success of the Rosetta satellite's mission to comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko continued with the startling revelation of the comet's odour. Yes, that's right, its odour. As it turns out, the comet smells of cat's urine, rotten eggs, and bitter almonds. Using its ROSINA instrument, which stands for Rosetta Orbiter Spectrometer for Ion and Neutral Analysis, the satellite collected and analysed molecules emanating from the comet's surface and found a mixture of hydrogen sulfide, ammonia, and hydrogen cyanide, which combined to give a distinct and not exactly pleasant whiff. Astronomers are interested in detecting such complex molecules on comets as they provide a frozen record of their abundance in the early solar system, when planets were still being formed. Being able to view this record will potentially provide us with clues as how compounds crucial for life came to exist here on Earth. The ability to sniff the comet so soon was a surprise, however, with Rosetta scientists expecting to have to wait for the comet to warm up in the sun before the smell became powerful enough to detect, like a wet dog maturing next to a radiator. We shouldn't worry about 67P stinking out the solar system, though, with the molecules not present in large enough quantities to be smelt by a human being on the comet's surface. Catherine Altweg of the University of Bern of Switzerland pointed out that, even stood on the surface, you'll probably need a good dog to smell it.